Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.
That's right, Dr. Dobson. And friend, thanks to generous listeners like you, Family Talk can reach more and more listeners with practical help and encouragement. To support Family Talk with your best gift, go online to drjamesdobson.org or call 877-732-6825.
Today on Family Talk.
This is a story today of hope, that there's no situation, no mess that you're in that's beyond the reach of God. Even more than that, how He can take your mess and turn it into your message.
Romans chapter 8 tells us that neither life nor death, nor angels or demons or anything else in all of creation can separate us from the love of God. Hello, everyone. You are listening to Family Talk with your host, distinguished psychologist and popular author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, sitting in for Dr. Dobson on this broadcast. Today, you will hear the unbelievable testimony of a man who experienced the fervent pursuit of Christ's love as described in Romans 8. His name is Joseph Rojas. He sat down with Family Talk's co-host, Dr. Tim Clinton, this past spring. They talked about his troubling childhood and young adult life, which was scarred by an abusive father, depression, and drug use. Joseph also shared how he drastically encountered God and witnessed firsthand the reconciling power of God's love and grace. Now, you might recognize Joseph Rojas as the lead singer for the Dove Award-winning Christian rock band Seventh Day Slumber. They've sold nearly 500,000 albums since 1996 and have over 50,000 listeners monthly on Spotify. Joseph is also president and CEO of the Nashville Label Group, which he formed back in April of this year. He also is a sought-after keynote speaker for conferences, youth groups, and festivals. Well, there is a lot to cover, so let's dive right in now to Joseph Rojas' powerful testimony on this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Joseph, let's get started. You grew up as a boy in a pretty rough, broken home. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I grew up raised by a single mother in Victoria, Texas. I was born in California, but my father was in the military, was in the Air Force. But he used to abuse my mother, not just physically, but emotionally, and cheated on her. And my mom ended up just getting free from that after. I still remember him beating her. I still remember being almost 4 years old, and I still see the blood on her face. It was traumatic, and you wouldn't think as all the years have gone by that I would remember it so vividly, but especially I don't remember things I did at 5 and 6 years old, but I remember that. I remember the last time my father beat my mother. And so the police came and everything, but she was able to get free from that. And long story short, my father took a job overseas. He was very intellectual. He was a smart guy. I don't know about common sense, but he was a smart guy, and took a job working for an oil company overseas. I never saw my father again after that until I was about 14. But raised by a single mother on a single mother's income, and we had to be raised in pretty bad part of town. Then Victoria, where I grew up, is in the crossroads of Houston, Austin, San Antonio, and the drugs come right up from Mexico on 59 South. And so it was a pretty bad area.
Did you get caught up in the whole drug culture?
So I did. I started using drugs when I was about 12 years old.
12-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a boy, has no dad and trying to figure out who he is and where he's going.
A mom that loved us, but she's trying to raise two men. She's trying to raise boys into men, and it's very difficult. So we would stay with a babysitter that used to abuse my brother and I, beat us, kick us, and then we ended up getting out of that with another babysitter. My brother was abused in a different way.
That's awful, Joseph.
And so it was
sad.
Rough on me, and at 12, I just wanted it to all go away. I didn't even know how. Suicide is that was the first time I thought about suicide. Was it 12?
As a 12-year-old boy. And drugs become a way of escape.
Mm-hmm.
Really, they are. It's like an answer, if you will, to a disaster.
Absolutely.
A horrific disaster.
Yes, it is.
As a boy.
Well, it does. I mean, you're just really looking for a way almost out of your own skin. And my mother struggled with anxiety and panic attacks and things like that. So she had pills that were prescribed by the doctor. And I remember taking one of those Xanax pills that she had at the time and using that. And that was the first real experience I had with drugs.
I want to make sure those listening right now understand the significance of escaping through drugs for a moment.
Absolutely.
It's like this addictive cycle takes over, and you just keep going further and further in, don't you?
Absolutely.
How bad did it get for you? I know you said at age 22, but 18 years old, you were doing coke. You were doing.
I had about a $400 a day cocaine addiction. I was on the verge of death. I mean, I was robbing and stealing. I was selling cocaine because people will always ask that question, like, "Well, how'd you get $400 a day? That's
sure.
a lot of money. But when you're selling drugs, you have that money there. But what's happening is you're starting to use more than you're selling, and then you start owing money to people you don't want to owe money to. Like, you may come up missing the next day.
Yeah.
And that was my life. But my mother, when I was 18, ended up giving her life to Jesus.
Yeah. I want to go there to the God piece. Your mom did not know, or she wasn't saved.
Right.
Had not become a Christian yet, mm-hmm. but she started crying out to God to do something.
She did. You know, she always believed in God. Like, she... I always say that I was born Catholic, even though I didn't even believe in God, but I was born Catholic. My mom was born Catholic. You don't convert. You know, you're born that way, in our family anyway. And so my mother, but she didn't have a relationship with God. She believed that there's a God. But at 18, when I was locked up, I got locked up, and it was the first time I'd been in big boy jail. So before that, I'd been in juvenile stuff and, you know, rehab stuff and behavioral centers. But at 18, I got locked up, and I wasn't the biggest guy in the place anymore. And so my mother came to see me, and I remember I was wearing this orange pumpkin suit, and she was talking to me through this glass on the phone. And I remember seeing the brokenness in my mom's eyes. I remember seeing the pain, and I'll never forget it. And it was at that moment that my mother took an invite from a friend that had been inviting her to go to church, and my mother went, and she ended up surrendering her life and giving her heart to Jesus. And she surrendered me to Jesus as well. The issue with me and all the things I was going through. My mom understood something that a lot of people don't understand. My mom understood that the drug addiction was just a symptom. And she would say, "God, heal my son's broken heart. God, heal his broken heart." She knew there was something there. It wasn't the drugs. The drugs are just what happens because of this.
Yeah.
And she would pray every night. She would cry out to God. I could hear her in the next room. I'd lost my apartment, my car, everything. And now I was running from people because I owed money to people. And I'm living with my mom again. And I could hear her in the next room crying out to God, "Save my son's life. Heal his broken heart, God."
Joey was the boy she rocked in her arms at night. She knew him.
Mm.
And she was crying and fighting for his soul.
Mm-hmm.
In the midst of it, these cries, something happens
mm-hmm.
that gets a hold of you. Joey, can you take us to probably the, if not the darkest, certainly one of the darkest nights of your life?
Well, like I said, it spiraled out of control. I was already at the end of this. I was looking at 10 years this time. I had been arrested over 20 times. I mean, I'm a four-time convicted felon. And I'm looking at 10 years fed time. And that means day for day, no good behavior. You know, you do 10 years. And everything was just... had just come to this place where I'd heard my mom talking to me about God and what he could do for my life. My mother would tell me, "God has a plan for you. He'll change your life. And son, you got to give your heart to him." And I'd say, even if there was this holy God in heaven, what would he want with a worthless drug addict like me? And my mom would say, "When God looks at you, son, he sees the apple of his eye, his son." And
she would tell you that.
She would tell me that. She would also get in my face and scream at me when I was getting ready to leave the house to go. And she knew I was going to go get high. And she'd say, "Devil, you will not have my son." She would be in my face. And I thought that was the wackiest. She was the wackiest person around to do that. You know what I mean? But anyway, but I had made a decision at not late at night, but it was in the evening. My mother was at work. And I just made a decision to be done with this. I was done living. I had already stole from my own mother. I was looking at 10 years. My mother's broken, and I didn't want her to have to go through this anymore. And I didn't think there was any way I could be free from this drug addiction. So there was no chance of that ever happening. And so my mother would have to deal with this forever. So I made a decision. I'm done. And I took enough cocaine that I knew it would stop my heart. I didn't have enough to last me through the night.
So when you say you were done, that meant I'm checking out.
I'm checking out. I'm going to end it all right now. You know, I don't know everything that was going through my mind at that moment. All I know is that I only had enough cocaine to last me for a few more hours, but it was enough to end my life if I did it all at one time. And I knew that I didn't want my mom to hurt anymore. And isn't that ironic that you could rationalize that? Like, I don't want my mom to hurt anymore, but I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
All she would do is live with that and a life of pain when she lost her own son. Anyway, so she walked in unexpectedly after I'd already done it. My heart was hurting. My chest was hurting. And I collapsed in front of her. And she was screaming and crying out to God. She had called the paramedics right away. But I was coming in and out. I can still hear her praying and crying out to God. And in the back of an ambulance, I felt the hand of God. And I gave my life to Jesus in the back of that ambulance. And I don't know how to explain it to anybody other than it's more than just your favorite Bible verse. It's more than seeing someone on TV or even hearing this on the radio right now. I experienced the hand of God. I mean, I knew it was him, and I cried out to him in the back of that ambulance, and I woke up in an intensive care unit. But it was in the back of the ambulance. I don't even remember what I said because I couldn't speak with my mouth. It was,
but God heard you.
But God heard me. I was crying out from the inside and probably said something like, God, I'm filthy. I'm broken. I'm probably damaged beyond repair. But if there's still something you see in me or something you want, I'll give you my heart. I'll give you my life. And I got that from my mother. And I cried out.
You're listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton filling in for Dr. Dobson today. Our special in-studio guest, Joseph Rojas. He is from Seventh Day Slumber. It's a band you're going to learn a little bit more about and a ministry that he has to our teens, to the young generation right now, a message of hope. Joseph, coming back, coming clean. I mean, you gave your life to Christ, but you're in a full-blown addiction.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of brokenness. It's a journey toward freedom. I know your story says that it took about almost 2 years, really, to work your way through all that. Give us a snapshot of what that period was like. I mean, I can't imagine the joy in your mama, by the way.
She, you know that? I tell you what, and she was so excited, but
my
she,
son, who was lost, was that's why
God actually come heard on. My prayers, you know, and that's it. But see, she believed that God was hearing her. She believed it, and she knew that he heard her, and so, but to see it come to fruition like this, it was awesome. But at the same time, it's still healing is a process, and for me, like I meet people all the time out on the road. We tour all over the United States, Canada, well, all over the world. I meet people all the time that say, you know what? I was healed in an instant. And I never had
an urge for a drug
nothing.
Ever again.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, man. Like, God must like you better.
We believe, hey, those miracles can happen.
They can, but they do.
The majority of people,
yeah.
It's a journey
right.
to break
and
free.
And so they can and they do. But for a lot of us, it was 2 years and I would get like 30 days clean. Then I'd mess up. But then I would get like 2 months clean. And it was 2 years. But I will say this, and I've said this before many, many times, and I'll say it again, that God ruined getting high for me. After I gave my life to Jesus, it was never the same. So when I'd be out there, I knew that there was more for my life. Like, and God ruined it. It wasn't even a good
high. That's the spirit of God working inside.
I'm telling you. Yeah. And so I knew that God was doing something big in me. And all I had to do was to take every thought captive and stand strong. And another thing that I did, which for those listening right now, I don't know what you're struggling with, what your addiction is, if you have one or not, or if you have a child or brother, sister, aunt, but one of the things I had to do was get this out of my mind that I could never use drugs again. You can never use drugs again. I had to wake up every morning going, oh no, how am I going to make it through the rest of my life? Never using drugs again. I can't do this. This is too big for me. And that's true. It's not too big for God, but I had to get rid of that and go, I don't need to never use drugs again. I just need to not use drugs today. And I'd focus on the day. And so every day, you know, before I knew it, I had 5 years. And then it was like, I never had an urge after that. So I quit putting so much pressure on me. And a lot of recovering addicts do that. They put all this pressure. You know, I can never go to www.whatever again.
Sure.
I mean, let's keep it real. You know what I mean? I can never eat this much food again. Because for me, then I went to another thing and I ended up gaining over 100 pounds. Now I'm on the mend from that. But basically, I had to just get free from that. It's just about today, getting through today.
Dr. Dobson has often said that the greatest social ill of our day is the absence of dad.
Mm.
He would even add godly fathers from
absolutely.
The home. And when you dial back, we talk about relationship wounds like father wounds mm-hmm. and more. And I know for you, here's the first time now your heavenly father is in your life. How do you reconcile no dad and all of a sudden God the Father in your life? I mean,
that's a great question, because when you don't have a concept of what a father is,
right.
all a father was to me is someone that beats your mom, cheats on her, and leaves you. So when you tell me God the Father, I don't know how to do that. Yeah. And so people would talk in Christianese to me, and that's what I call it. Is Christianese is just like you're talking to someone who's been here in this Christian on this Christian journey for 20 years, and I'm just getting started. I don't understand that. I didn't have a dad. But when I finally understood the concept of who God is. When I first got saved, I thought everything I did, I was going straight to Hades. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And every time I messed up, and I didn't understand the concept of grace even. I just knew God was real and that he loved me. But when is he going to be done with me if I keep making these mistakes?
Yeah.
'Cause my dad left. So God surely going to leave at some point.
He's going to bail on me.
Right.
God's got to hate me.
Exactly. At that point, I was really at that point where I needed to understand who God was. And I had a friend of mine who really instilled that in me, an awesome pastor friend of mine.
You started praying for your dad.
Yep.
After you accepted Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about what happened? Because this is wild.
Absolutely.
This is a wild piece of the story.
So my father came back from overseas and quit his job with the oil company, came back, and just really quickly, I'll say this. He had to go through a legal battle with my mom over back pay and child support and stuff. But and so it was rocky when he first came back. But I'd been praying after I got saved. So we didn't have a great relationship even after he came back. But after I got saved, I started praying that God would give me the want to forgive him. Because I knew I needed to forgive him, but I didn't even want
hating
to.
Hating your dad.
Yeah, I didn't even want to forgive him. As a Christian man, I mean, I'm embarrassed to say it, but it's the truth. I didn't even want to forgive him. So I prayed that God would give me the want to forgive him. And then before I knew it, I was praying for him legitimately.
Story of grace and forgiveness. Let's fast forward.
Mm-hmm.
You invite your dad to a concert.
I did.
Because music's your gift now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing Christian music, mm-hmm. trying to save the world, these kids out there who are on the same battle, same journey that mm-hmm. you were on.
Yep.
Talk about the night he came.
Well, my father came to one of our concerts. He had called me and told me that his brother had died, my Uncle Henry. He was the only one I really knew from that side of the family. And that he had died, and that my dad said his boys were weeping at his, you know, at the funeral. My dad said, you know, he asked the question, I wonder if my two sons would cry for me if I died. And that's when he called me and said, son, I know you hate me. I said, dad, I'll stop you there. I don't hate you. I love you. And I want to invite you to come to Nashville. And my dad came, and I had two sons at the time. I have three now. And they ran and they hugged their grandpa, Tony. And it's so crazy because God is a comforter. And God made it to where it wasn't even weird. I know it was a God filter, you know, in that moment, because it wasn't weird. My dad came to stay with us. When he thought I played in a band, he was thinking we're playing like little local clubs, or he didn't realize we had millions of people that listen to our music and sing our music and have our records and things like that. And so he was blown away. So at the concert, I said, well, daddy, come to a concert. And he came. And that day, I began to share my story. And I always started with my father. He used to beat my mom. And I didn't even think. He was standing right below the stage, in the front of the stage. And when the stage was up high, it was us and Skillet, I think. And there was like 5,000 people or so. I don't even, maybe more. And I started off with my father used to beat my mother, that kind of thing. And he looked down like, this is why you brought me here.
Yeah.
But then I figured I had to finish the story. So I did. And then I said, but my father's here today. And the whole place, I mean, I was outside, but all the people stood up, cheered for my dad. The next day, he came to a concert. It was raining. I gave an altar call. And in the mud and the rain, my father, he gave his life to Jesus at our concert.
No situation beyond the grace of God. Joseph, there's no doubt in my mind, there's moms and dads listening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the tears are coming down their face, and they're crying out for their Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
He's out there right now. And they're saying, God, would you make that story the story for my Joseph mm-hmm. right now? Would you find him? I don't even know where he's at right now. I don't even know where she's at.
Yep.
They're gone. They're terrified. What do you say to them? What do you tell mom and dad?
The most important thing I would say is that God hears you. I'm alive today because of a praying mother. And I would also say to surround yourself around positive people.
But they hate me. They hate me. They won't even listen. You hear what I'm saying? Keep speaking to them. They need somebody to speak life to them.
Well, you need to keep letting them know that they are accepted, that you love them, and that, yes, you're not happy with what they're doing, but at the same time, maybe don't focus on that so much. Focus on the love. I love you. There's so much more for you. My mom would do that with me, and then I would hate myself. It wasn't that I was mad at my mom. Sometimes I'd be mad at my mom because she'd be like, quit. You need to, you know, and she'd go off on me.
But there's a balance in here, but nevertheless,
yeah.
Her faithfulness to you, she wanted you to know,
she
you're my boy,
up.
I love you, I am not going to let you go.
Absolutely. She fought for me.
I'm going to fight for you.
She fought for me, and so I would encourage those parents to keep fighting. I know you're tired. I know you're weary. I know sometimes you feel like you can't even run anymore, but I'm telling you right now that you are stronger than you think you are. You are stronger than you know, and your fight is going to save your child's life, and God, he's going to give you that strength. He's going to give you the words to say, but it's got to be him. It's got to be him. And so at the end of the day, keep fighting, keep trusting that God is listening to you, that God is on your side. He's on your child's side. And that would be my advice to somebody. Just don't give up. It can happen. It may not be when you want it. My mother probably, I mean, she obviously wanted it that day,
yeah.
the day she started
yeah.
praying. It's yeah. like, and we're impatient, you know, human beings. But, you know, God has a plan. And you just got to keep fighting and trust him. And I know that's a difficult thing to do when your kid's out. It's like you don't know if he or she can make it another day. Just keep fighting. And God has a plan. And trust him.
Joseph, as we wrap up here, I want every mom and dad, turn the radio up just a little bit more right now. Because I want you to hear this closing piece. I'm told that at the end of a lot of your events, you pick up the phone and call somebody, your mom.
Yep. I call her and let her know how many people came to the Lord, and she's a proud mom. She went from hearing calls from me when I was at a payphone saying, Mom, I need you to pick me up. I'm barefooted. I'm just coming down off of drugs. I have nowhere to go. And she went from that phone call to now me getting off stage and saying, hey, Mom, like 300 people came to Christ tonight, or 800 people came to Christ tonight. And so my mom is still crying, but it's for a different reason.
It's a special shout out to all you moms and dads out there. Joseph, thank you for taking, it was an amazing time to join us here on Family Talk.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's an honor to be here and to, you know, have you invite me to be a part of this.
How can they learn more about you and Seventh Day Slumber?
Well, it's real easy. Just go to www.seventhdayslumber.com. Like on the seventh day he slumbered, seventh day he rested.
Rested.
And it's spelt out S-E-V-E-N-T-H. So seventhdayslumber.com.
Well, what an incredible testament to the redeeming and reconciling power of God's love. You've been listening to an interview Dr. Tim Clinton did with Joseph Rojas, lead singer for the band Seventh Day Slumber, here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Go to today's broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org to learn more about Joseph's story or to see when Seventh Day Slumber is touring close to you. That's drjamesdobson.org, and then click onto the broadcast tab. As we wrap up this Friday edition of Family Talk, if today's program or any of our other broadcasts this past week have touched you or encouraged you in your walk with the Lord, call our offices here in Colorado Springs at 877-732-6825. When you contact us, you'll have the option to either leave a comment on our listener feedback line or talk to one of our representatives here in Colorado Springs, who will be happy to answer all of your questions or help you find any resource that you might need. Our representatives can also send you a CD copy of any of our broadcasts as well. We deeply enjoy hearing how our ministry is making an impact in our listeners' lives, so please call 877-732-6825 and let your voice be heard. That's a toll-free number, by the way, 877-732-6825. This is Roger Marsh, thanking you for listening today and to all of our broadcasts this past week. We pray you have a blessed weekend. Be sure to tune in again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton. Thanks for listening to Family Talk. You going through a tough time right now? Can't see your way out? You think there's no hope? We'd love to talk to you. I want you to know this. Dr. Dobson has been doing this for a long time, and he really cares about you so much that we'd love to talk to you right now. You can actually call us toll-free. Our number is 877-732-6825. You're going to be encouraged. You're going to be challenged. You're going to find new hope. You know why? Because God really does care about you. He loves you. And Dr. Dobson cares about you too. Call us now, 877-732-6825.